You guys had a busy weekend. Two shows yesterday and church this morning. Those instruments are all warmed up. Thank you. We conclude this morning our series on discipleship. We've talked about what it means to be a disciple throughout this month of October. We've talked about the cost associated with being a disciple last week. And today I want to talk to you about the paycheck, the reward for investing your time, your heart, your energy, and your soul into serving and following after Jesus. It comes with some great benefits. And today we gather to rejoice and consider them. These benefits come with freely to us by God's grace and through our faith, which is something that a rich young man tried to come to terms with. And so he went to Jesus and he posed him an important question. This question and this encounter with Jesus is recorded for us in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. And if you'd be so kind to want to follow along, you can turn to that page now in your pew Bibles. Otherwise, in your mind's eye, open your hearts and hear now the word of the Lord. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go sell everything you have and give to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had such great wealth. Jesus then looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples again were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Peter piped up and said, "We've left everything to follow you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. That is, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and fields, and with them even persecution. And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Let us pray. Father God, how privileged we are. May we never take the comforts of this gathering for granted, for a heated space, for lights to illuminate these words on page, and for these words on the page that have been restored and preserved for us from the years and time when Jesus first spoke them. And so, Lord, may these words inspire us and move us, Lord, into faithful discipleship. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Jesus, you are my rock and my redeemer. Amen. What was that game show years ago? It may even still be on TV. $100,000 Pyramid or something like that. Is that right? Was that a game show? What is it? What was it called? Thousand? 100,000. You know, where two people sit in front of each other and the one person gives like a phrase to try and get the clue, or they give a clue to get a phrase. They're trying to get people to... Okay, so we're going to play that game a little bit here this morning, okay? Don't yell it out right away. I'm going to give you a list of seven or eight things, and I want you to figure out what they all have in common. Got it? They're pretty broad. May take a little bit of brain power. See smoke coming up out of some people's ears. Ready for this? What do all of these things have in common? Buying a new car. Taking on a new job. Committing to a relationship. Undergoing surgery. Receiving a medical treatment. Making a financial investment. Anyone? What comes with all of those things? Stress? Why is there stress involved with all of those things? I'll draw the answer out of you. Why are those things stressful? There's a risk. Absolutely, Ralph. Very good. They all involve risk. Decision making. In which on one hand, you have to look at the risk involved, but on the other hand, anticipate what? The reward. That's correct. Things that we stress over, decisions that we make, because you have to weigh the risks versus the reward. I'd like to add something to that list today. Being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Have you ever considered the risk and the reward of being a disciple of Jesus Christ? The tendency of our current modern day American Christian faith, westernized, incorporated in all the luxuries and privileges of our time and our era, and some of you have lived through lots of time and lots of eras and have seen how the human race has become increasingly more intelligent and more comfortable in all of the luxuries that we have. That now when folks consider following Jesus, it's almost as if we only look at it as a reward. But with the rewards of following Jesus, as highlighted by this passage, also comes with great commitment, risk. Both are involved. This passage, this encounter with Jesus, they are both highlighted. The reward is there. The very encounter begins with the reward, and the reward is eternal life. I mean, who does not want to live forever here? Right? Isn't that what it's all about? It was for this rich young man. He wanted to make sure for certain he had eternal life, the great reward of being one of God's people. And Jesus reminded him of the great risks that come with being a child of God, a follower of Jesus. You know, he told him, yeah, you got it all right, buddy. You do. You got it all right. You followed the commandments from the day you were a young boy. Good job. No risk involved in that. That's just simply obedience. And so Jesus says, what about this though? You truly want to follow me? Are you willing to give all your stuff away, sell it and give it to the poor, and then follow me? And that rich young man who was really rich, his face fell. And he left sad. Jesus goes on then to further review this topic with his disciples. And there's Peter. Hey, man, we left everything to follow you. What do we get? And so you can see throughout this encounter that there's this idea that when you invest something and invest your time and energy and all your wealth, that there's going to be some great payout and some great payoff to this. There's got to be reward that comes with following, being a disciple of Jesus. So that's what I want to talk about today. How well are you aware of the rewards of being a disciple of Jesus Christ and knowing that it comes with risk and commitment and even, yes, some stress? If what I'm hoping to get to here today to help you realize, and if you leave here with just one thought in mind, it's this. Your Christian faith, your discipleship of being, you being a disciple of Jesus, is more than just what you get at the end of the road. That it comes with risk and responsibility. We talked about those risks and responsibilities last week. That we have to make Jesus first and center in our lives. That we have to be willing to sacrifice ourselves and our possessions. And we have to be willing to take on a bit of persecution in this world and suffer. I mean, to be a disciple means to be like Jesus, like your teacher. And did Jesus suffer? Check. Does that mean we suffer in following Him? Yes. Did Jesus sacrifice? Check. Did Jesus put His Father in heaven first? Check. All of those things are the cost, the responsibilities of being a disciple. And so, in taking on those risks and those responsibilities, what's the payoff? I want to give you and share with you the rewards of being a disciple right now. And then I'm going to conclude with a little disclaimer. You know, that stuff you never read on the bottom of your medications? Okay. I could give you the disclaimer now and then tell you about the rewards, but I think it'd be better for you to hear the rewards and then leave with the disclaimer. Got it? All right, so here are the rewards of our being a disciple of Jesus. Being people who truly follow after Jesus. Who've been willing to give up of our time and of our place, all of who we are, to follow Jesus. You're here, so I count you among the disciples. And here's your reward. You can really see the rewards of our faith in discipleship by reading the New Testament. Paul, Peter, and John, the primary authors of most of the New Testament, there are a couple exceptions there, but Paul, Peter, and John, each of them in their own right like to emphasize the future reward of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. For Paul, the future reward for Paul was that we're saved. We're saved from the wrath of God. That's the good news, by the way, if you haven't figured that out in this book. Really, the whole entire book is about us receiving the good news that we're saved from the wrath of God. You see, back in the Old Testament, and I'm sure you've picked up on this in however many years of life you've been walking on earth, that people by nature are generally broken, corrupt, and gone astray. People by nature like to follow and appease themselves, rather other people. I mean, we are a fine mess. Don't we all believe that as Presbyterians? I mean, that's really at the heart of who we are. God is good, and man, well, we're just... Any kids here? Kids? We're just a damn mess. We really are. That's true. And God created us to be in His image. But we've fallen from that image. And like a good parent, when a kid falls and does something wrong, you want to do what? You want to discipline them. Well, God is a God of discipline. He really is. I know we want to think of God as loving and joyful and all light, but God really does have wrath. And the good news is that through our faith in Jesus, which is why we follow Him, we are saved from the future wrath of God. It happened in the Old Testament. Did you catch that in the story of Noah? Like, God realized, man, these people are just a mess. Oh, wipe them all out. That's the same God whom we praise here today. He is the same God. Let us never forget that. That God is a God of wrath. And He looks down on humanity and He goes, what have I done? Look at these corrupt, broken people. But that the reward by having faith in Christ, who took on the wrath of God on the cross, we are saved from the wrath of God. Is that not good news? Yes. There is a time somewhere in the future where the wrath of God is going to come back. And all those who've been claimed by Christ, for Christ, and who are in Christ, saved from the wrath of God. His blood has been put on your doorpost, folks. And God's wrath will pass you over. That is yet to come. Maybe in our lifetime, maybe not, but it's yet to come. Paul liked to focus on that. We are saved from the wrath of God. That's a reward, eh? Amen. That's one reward we got coming. That's what Paul liked to talk about. That worth the risk and the responsibility and the commitment and the stress and the sacrifice that comes with being a disciple? Is it worth it? Yes, it is. Let's talk about Peter. Peter, remember Peter? You know, the guy who rejected Jesus, but then at the same time was sort of the elder of the disciples, was the first to outrun John the younger, to get to the tomb and to find that the tomb was what? Empty. And so, as soon as the tomb was empty and he re-encountered Jesus and Jesus reinstated him and told him that he loved him still even though he rejected him, Peter was like a new person. He had once rejected Jesus, but now he's been regenerated by Jesus. And not only that, but because Jesus died and rose from the dead, so will he. And so will us. We. Yes. So will we. So will we. So Peter liked to focus on this living hope that we all are going to live for eternity. For Paul, we're saved by the wrath of God, saved from the wrath of God. For Peter, we get to live forever. We get to raise from the dead to new life. Is that worth the risk? And the sacrifice and the suffering? That future blessing that you, though you will die, you will always live. Oh, man, that's good stuff. That's Peter. And then there was John. John, who had the vision in Revelation, saw what this eternal life would be like. He saw that there would be no pain, no sorrow, no tears. That this life everlasting is going to be good. Like there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. A city of God in which we all get to live in. Where there's no humanity full of brokenness and sin and corruption. But that it's life of perfect fellowship with God forever. Yes. Is that worth the risk and responsibilities? The stress and the sacrifice of following after Jesus. Take all that I have. If that's what I'm going to get, take it all. Those are some pretty awesome rewards, right? And those are just the rewards that come later. Those are the future blessings and rewards of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Saved from the wrath of God, resurrected from the dead, and live eternally in joyful fellowship and bliss with God. Whew. Sign me up. Those just happen in the future. That's like bonus money. Okay? We have actually rewards, and Jesus points this out, right here in the present age. Not only do we have rewards of being a disciple that come to us in the future, but there are rewards that we receive right now. What's the condition of humanity on earth right now? Pretty broken, right? I mean, we go through some rough stuff as human beings, don't we? Oh, I don't even need to list it all. Gosh, we could spend a whole long time talking about all of the stuff that we persevere through. Death and grief, and illness, loss, brokenness, and hardships. Boy. But you know what we have in the midst of all of that right now as disciples of Jesus Christ? Peace. Peace that passes all understanding, Paul said. In the midst of the most heart-wrenching pain and in the face of the most despicable evil. Boy, we've seen it all in this past year. Just in our own time, in our own country. And this has been going on for centuries. As long as humanity has walked the earth, there has been this type of brokenness. But nothing separates us from the love of God. It's a peace that passes all understanding. Humanity's got you down, feeling low, depressed. I understand. That's the work of the world around us. But in Christ, the reward is peace that passes understanding, love that casts out fear, and joy that lifts us beyond our circumstances. And that's just what we have now. And on top of the peace and the joy and the love, sounds like an Advent Christmas sermon series, doesn't it? Isn't it funny that when we approach the Christmas season, we talk about peace, we talk about joy, we talk about love. Why? Because that's what Christ is bringing into the world here and now. And when we celebrate Christmas in the Advent season, we're actually celebrating the present day gifts of having faith in Jesus Christ. Peace that passes understanding. Love that casts out fear. Joy that lifts us beyond our circumstances. And there's one more. Look around. Look, just look. You know what the other reward is? Jean's my sister in Christ. Caitlin, my sister in Christ. Diane, My sister in Christ. Where's all the men? Marshall. He's my buddy. Henry. Jack. Ron. Like, I got brothers and sisters right here. Look at this. I was born into a family with a brother who was 2 years older and then another brother that was 8 years younger and a mom and a dad. Well, my mom is gone. My stepdad, estranged. My younger brother, in jail. My older brother is going fishing with me next week. The family I was born into, what happens to the families that we're born into, folks? Tough to keep that knit together. But when you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, this becomes my family. You being here right now, you sitting, whoever you're sitting right next to, is the reward. It's the blessing of being a disciple that our family is always here and close. These are the present blessings, the present day rewards of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. And is that love worth all the risk and responsibility of following Jesus? Is that peace that passes understanding worth? Yes. Is the love that casts out fear worth it? The joy that lifts you over circumstances, is it worth it? The people you're sitting next to right now, are they worth it? Yes, friends. These are the rewards of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Ah! This is how good God is. I can't stop smiling just talking about it. I hope you feel the same way. Time for the disclaimer. It's good. It's a good disclaimer. If you're having any of the following symptoms. And, no, just kidding. I should do it like... I'll do it in 30 seconds. We have a tendency as human beings to work hard for things. I look out and I see people who work for a living. And the harder you work sometimes, and the more hours you work, the more you get paid, right? Anybody here work hourly? You're on an hourly pay schedule. Okay? And what happens if you work overtime? You get paid more, right? I mean, a percentage more. How many of you here have jobs salaried? Doesn't matter how much more you work, you're only getting paid that much. So we have a tendency as Americans that the harder we work, the more we get paid, right? Because that's what we're cultured to. We're trained that way. That's not how discipleship works. We don't earn these rewards. Doesn't matter how much time or energy or money or determination or focus you give to being a disciple. These rewards are ours. We don't earn them. Jesus was talking about this. Paul loved to talk about we're justified by our faith, not by our works. But yet James came along and says, but you still have to work, right? Yes, it's a tricky balance. But what I want to say to you is, and this is the disclaimer, I don't want you leaving here thinking, man, the harder I'm working, the more I study the Bible, the greater my rewards are going to be. It doesn't work that way. The reward, knowing what the rewards are, shouldn't... I'm going to try and say this in a way that I hope you understand, and then I'll conclude. Oftentimes, people are motivated by the reward that they're going to receive. The harder you work, the more you get paid. That's not how this works. We know what the rewards are, so they should inspire us to work hard. and to be focused and determined and to be true disciples of Jesus. Being a true disciple of Jesus doesn't earn you all of those rewards. They should inspire your discipleship. Does that make sense? I don't want you thinking, oh man, my pie in the sky is going to be a really big piece because I really gave it all I had when I was on earth. That's not how it works. That's the disclaimer. That we are disciples, we should be inspired by the gifts that are ours as in Christ. That's the disclaimer. Let us pray. Lord, it's so good to talk about the rewards of our faith. Thank you, Lord, for all that is yet to come. Thank you, Lord, for all we enjoy here and now. Help us, Lord, to never take them for granted, to never feel like we're earning them, but that we're only inspired by the very knowledge of them. Lord, may we forever praise you and shout for joy as together we stand and sing. Amen. The promises are salvation, eternal life, a new heaven, peace that passes understanding, love that casts out fear, joy that overcomes our circumstances, and the people right next to you. These are the promises of our faith as disciples of Jesus Christ. And the song is right. Nothing compares to that. Amen.